Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. John, chapter 11. It is always a difficult thing to try and describe what it means to come to Christ, to trust Him, to believe upon Him. We teach that each one is born in sin. Each one is a sinner. That includes me as well as anyone else. I'm not speaking down to anyone else of something that I don't know of my own person. And so the question comes, well, how is it possible for someone who is dead in their trespasses and sins, someone who has broken the law of God, to come to Christ, to come to Jesus, to receive forgiveness at His hands? And we can talk until I'm blue in the face, and I may have good ways to describe it, and I may have ways that confuse you even more. But one of the best passages that I know of is John chapter 11. John chapter 11 speaks of a situation in the life of Jesus, as well as the life of others, regarding Lazarus and Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha, and many others that were there. And so what we're going to do tonight is look at John chapter 11, and we're going to cover 45 verses, and we're going to do it in a way, hopefully, that will make sense to you, but we're going to do it in certain sections, three sections mainly, to see exactly other things that we might learn before we see the ultimate miracle of Christ raising someone from the dead, which is a perfect picture of salvation. And so, Lord willing, we'll see these things together tonight. So we're going to read the first 16 verses of John chapter 11 and then deal with those to begin with. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. So there's a number of things that are taking place here that we can hopefully learn some things from. The first bit is about the family. And so there are three siblings, Lazarus and his two sisters. And Jesus had a very close relationship with these three siblings. He loved them, and they loved him. They were very close. And whenever Jesus was around Jerusalem, he was wont to stay in Bethany. That's where the last week of the Lord's life, he stayed in their house in Bethany. They had a very close relationship. And we're told that Lazarus was sick. He had some illness, something that was taking place. And we're told that Mary, to give us reference, that during the last week of the life of Christ, Mary was the one who came and anointed his feet with her hair and with the special ointment that would have cost a year's wages. And that's giving us a reference as to who it is and the closeness of the relationship. And so Lazarus is ill. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, send a message to Jesus So they know where he is, and they send a message and say, Lazarus, the one whom you love, he's sick. He's sick. And there's an expectation in sending that message that Jesus is going to come and do something about the sickness. That Jesus is going to come and heal Lazarus before it gets any worse. That's the expectation. And in reality, that's a good expectation, isn't it? Because what had Jesus been doing? His whole ministry, what had he been doing? He'd been healing the sick. He'd making the lame to walk. He had opened the eyes of the blind, opened the ears of the deaf, and the mouth of the dumb. He'd been doing all these things. And so the expectation was, well, here's Lazarus, the one you've got such a close relationship with. Come to him so that you can heal him, because he's sick. Now Jesus, when he hears this, he says something that seems odd. It seems off. And just so you know, Jesus frequently says things that seem odd, that seem off. Because we don't see things from his perspective. We don't see things from his point of view. We only see things from our own point of view. One of the hardest things to do is to see something from another person's perspective. Well, it's even harder to see things from God's perspective, from the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says to his disciples, this sickness is not unto death. But if you had been paying attention to the introduction and paying attention when we read the scriptures, what happens to Lazarus? He dies. But Jesus says this sickness is not unto death, except for the glory of God. You see, Jesus understands something. Lazarus could live. If Jesus was there, Lazarus would live. However, Jesus isn't going to go until Lazarus dies. Jesus isn't going to go and heal him from his sickness, although he could. He's going to wait. He's going to wait for Lazarus to die for a purpose. For a purpose in Lazarus' life, for a purpose in Lazarus' sisters' lives, for a purpose in his disciples' life. He's going to wait until Lazarus is dead. Why? That the Son of God might be glorified. But for the glory of God. You see, there are things that God does in our lives where we think it would be better for me if it didn't happen this way. My family, I'm sure, thinks this, and I've thought it at times. It would be better for me if I didn't have headaches. It would be better for me if I wasn't put aside because of those. But guess what? God thinks differently. I know that, because if he thought that way, guess what I wouldn't have? Headaches. If what was best was for me not to have them, I wouldn't have them. Regardless of what the doctors say, I wouldn't have them. But for the glory of God, I have them. That's what he's saying here. Lazarus is sick, and he wouldn't die from it, except that God is going to be glorified when he dies, because Jesus knows what he's going to do. Now, the disciples didn't have a clue what he was going to do. They didn't understand what he was saying. Mary and Martha, when Jesus shows up, they don't understand. They don't know what God knows. They don't see what Jesus sees. But Jesus says he wouldn't be dead. He wouldn't be dying, except for God and me to be glorified. See, there are things in your life that happen that you want an answer to. And guess what? You're not going to get an answer. You're not going to figure out why this happened. What was it? What should you do in the midst of it? Regardless of the why, what should you do? Attempt to glorify God. Attempt to give him honor. Seek his strength. Seek his mercy. And then whatever takes place, guess what? God's glorified. Guess what? You've drawn closer to him. That's what Jesus is saying to them. He acts curiously. So he hears that Lazarus is sick. What does he do? He doesn't rush away. He stays in the same place. He stays for 2 days where he was. Now, certainly, we understand that if Jesus had left at that moment, it would take him probably 4 days. Because when he does leave, Lazarus has just died. And he arrives, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. But we don't know how quickly he went. He may have taken his time. He may have preached in some towns and some cities because he's trying to prove a point. This isn't some mistake. This isn't some happenstance. And there's going to be no doubt that Lazarus is dead. He doesn't show up the next day or the day after, and people say, well, maybe Lazarus was just sick and they thought he was dead, and so they put him in the cave. No, he's been in there for 4 days. If he had been sick and not yet dead, he's definitely dead now, because he hasn't had anything to eat and anything to drink when he was sick. So there's going to be no doubt about it. He could have healed him before he died, but he stays in the same place. And he says to his disciples, okay, now it's time to go into Judea. Now it's time to go to where Lazarus was. And his disciples say, Lord, you know, Master, when we were there last time, the Jews tried to kill you. They tried to stone you. So do you think it's the best idea to go back again? And Jesus responds by this statement, are there 12 hours in the day? He that walks in the nighttime, what's he going to do? He's going to stumble, he's going to fall. But he that walks in the daytime, what's he going to do? He's going to walk securely. Why? Because he can see where he's going. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, the plain answer is obvious, that if you can see where you're going, you'll walk fine. And what did Jesus know? He knew what he was going to do. He knew what he was going to accomplish. He knew exactly what it was. He was walking in the daytime. He's the Son of God. He has that wisdom. And so he goes. He goes, he says to them, we're going to go and we're going to visit Lazarus, because he sleeps. And the disciples, they're not quite catching on to what's taking place here, because they didn't have the information Jesus had. Because the only message that had come was what? Was that Lazarus was sick. Nobody came and told them that Lazarus had died. But Jesus knew, because he's the Son of God. Because he is divine, he knows what's taking place. And he knows that Lazarus has died. And so he says, Lazarus sleepeth. And they think, well, if he sleeps, he's doing well, because he was sick. You need rest when you're sick. So if he's sleeping, great. And Jesus says, no, you don't understand. Lazarus is dead. Lazarus has died. And we're going to go to him. And then Thomas turns around and says, well, let's go with him so we can die too. Because the disciples are just thinking about the circumstances. Because the last time they were in Judea, the Jews wanted to stone Jesus. They wanted to stone Jesus, and now Lazarus has died. What do they think is going to happen to Jesus when he goes? The Jews are going to attack him again. And Thomas says, you know what? Let's go with him. Let's go with him, and we'll die too. Let's go with the Lord and be wherever he is. You see, there are some lessons to the purposeful delay of Jesus. You may not understand your trial. You may not understand why it's lasted as long as it has. You don't even know how many people are affected by your trial. But the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God, hasn't lessened any towards you in the midst of your trial. Your circumstances, God's providences in your life, whether you think they're good or whether you think they're bad, are not an indication of God's favor in your life. We don't check and see whether God loves me or not by the things that are going on in my life. How do we know whether God loves us or not? Through His Word. Through our forgiveness. Through our desire to be with Him. Through His promises. Through the things that He has said. God is always concerned with you. He's always concerned with your good. But he's not talking about your physical good. My physical good would mean that my arteries would be clear of any atherosclerosis. The spare tire that I have around my middle wouldn't be there. My head wouldn't hurt just about every day. That would be my physical good. But God is not concerned with that primarily. What is he concerned with primarily? My spiritual good. And he gives things in my life to help that, which to me may seem like a negative. Just as it is here with Lazarus. To Lazarus, dying wasn't a positive, was it? He didn't think, I'm getting sicker and sicker, yay! His sister certainly didn't think, oh, this is a wonderful thing, our brother's dying. The disciples didn't think it was good, but who did? Jesus Christ did, because he knows more than you know. He knows more than I know. And so Jesus goes with his disciples. Read verse 17 through verse 27. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So here are the way of things when Jesus arrives in Bethany. Lazarus is dead. He's been dead for 4 days. Now Bethany is close to Jerusalem at this time. And in fact today, in modern Israel, in modern Jerusalem, Bethany is part of Jerusalem. It's all part of the city that has grown over time. But because of this, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus loved God. They came to know Jesus Christ because of their love for God. What did they do? Well, they worshipped God in the temple. And so there were many Jews that knew Mary and Martha and Lazarus because they were faithful. They were faithful in their worship. And so there was a large gathering that had come together to comfort Mary and Martha, to try and help them through their difficulties, to support them. What could they do for Mary and Martha? Nothing. Nothing really. When we go and comfort someone that's lost a loved one, what do? Say, I'm here for you. There's nothing else you can do. You can't take away the pain. You can't take away the difficulty that they're facing. Those Jews that came to Mary and Martha, they couldn't change the fact that Lazarus has died. So they were there in case they wanted to talk. One of the best things I have in my life experienced during times of death is someone sitting there near you and being there. Not necessarily talking, not opening their mouth, but just being there. Their presence, it's a comfort. And that's what's taking place for Mary and Martha here. But Martha hears, well, Jesus is coming. Someone has seen him on the way. And so she gets up and she goes in the direction where Jesus is coming from. And she meets him on the way. And the first things out of her mouth is exactly what you and I would have said if we knew Jesus during these days. Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now, think about that for a moment. It's almost accusing Jesus, but it's placing a lot of faith in Jesus. Because she understands something. She understands that there's no way Lazarus would have died if Jesus had been there. That he would have had power over whatever the sickness was that caused his death. And she believed that he could work. And so Jesus, he says to her, Thy brother shall rise again. And she believes it. She says, I know that. I know that one day, in the future, far off, in the resurrection at the last day, I know he's going to rise again because he loved God, as God loved him. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I want you to think about that for a moment. How could a dead man believe? He's dead. Is Jesus speaking specifically about Lazarus there? To some degree, he is. He's trying to make a point to Martha, but he's also making a wider point about the spiritual state of mankind. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You see, I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I was dead, but when I believed upon Christ, he made me alive. He made me alive. And then he says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You see what's taking place there? No longer am I dead, I'm alive. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I've been made alive in Christ through belief in him. And guess what won't ever happen to me now? I'm not ever going to die. And you say, well, wait a second. Supposedly there's been Christians for a long time. Haven't they all died? Well, it depends on what you mean by death. Because their bodies have ceased to function. But where were they as soon as their body ceased to function? Present with the Lord. Now, to a Christian, that's not death. That's life. Because Jesus says we have eternal life if we trust Him. That means life that never stops. That there's no break-in. That there's no pause. It's not you're alive, you die, and eventually you'll be with Jesus. No, it's you're alive, and then you're with Jesus. There's an easy, quick transition. There's nothing about death to fear for those that believe in Jesus. That's what he's saying. I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's why there's a phrase that comes, if you're born once, then you'll die twice. Meaning that if you're only born physically, you're going to die physically, but then you're going to be separated from God for eternity, which is the second death. But if you're born twice, you die once. So if you're born twice, meaning you're born again, you're born from above, you have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Well, you may die physically, but in reality, that's not even death. Because you're closing your eyes here and opening them in heaven. Instantaneously. Quicker than you can blink, is what Jesus is saying. And he asks Martha, do you believe this? And she says, yes, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She believes his words. You know, whenever you want to know, well, how do you come to faith? You believe Jesus. You believe what he says. You believe what God says about him. You believe his promises that when he says, he that believeth in me shall never die. You believe that. You trust him. You seek forgiveness at his feet. Believing that he will. It's an incredible statement by Jesus, isn't it? I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And we're told that Martha believes. Martha trusts Jesus Christ. Martha has that eternal life that he is speaking about. These are now statements, aren't they? They're now. They're not later. They're not some time off in the future. They're current. That life is current that he speaks of. Verse 28 through verse 37. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? So after Jesus speaks to Mary, to Martha, and Martha believes, she goes home and she gets Mary and she comes up to Mary and she whispers in her ear, Jesus has come. Come and see him. He wants to talk to you. And so Mary gets up immediately and leaves the house and goes to find Jesus. And all the Jews that had come around, they follow. They think, well, she's going to the grave. She's upset. She's going to the grave. She's going to weep there. We need to go with her and comfort her. And so they go and follow after. And Mary arrives where Jesus was, because he stayed where he was when Martha left him. And Mary and Martha come up, and Mary says the same exact thing that Martha said. Lord, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you had been here, whatever the illness was would have no effect, because you have that power. You have that strength. And you can see the faith that Mary has is the same faith that Martha has. And the Bible tells us something. His response to Mary is different. You see, there are times where we don't see what God sees, right? We talked about this a little bit ago. And we go through things that we find difficult. And we said now God allows these things or places these things in our life to help us, to draw us closer to Him, to glorify Himself in our lives. But even though He does that, and we go through pain, and we go through difficulty, He is not affected by it. It affects God. It affects Jesus. You see what happens here. Mary comes and she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And he can see how upset she is. When Jesus, in verse 33, therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He wasn't groaning in the spirit and being troubled because Lazarus was dead. He knew what he was going to do with Lazarus. He knew where Lazarus was. Lazarus was in paradise. He knew in just a few moments Lazarus is going to be alive again. Why did he groan in his spirit? Why was he troubled? Because of the pain that Mary and Martha were going through. Because of the difficulties in their life. It didn't give him joy, even though he knew there was a purpose to it. Even though he knew God was going to be glorified by it, he was going to be glorified by it. It didn't give him joy for his people to go through suffering. It hurts him. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he asked, where have you put him? Where have you laid him? And he said, come and see. And it says, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Who was he weeping for? Now the Jews, they thought he was weeping for Lazarus. They thought he was weeping for the one who was dead because he wasn't coming back. That's what the Jews thought. But who was Jesus truly weeping for? Would he be weeping for Lazarus? Knowing from the beginning of this chapter all the way through exactly what his plan was. His plan from the beginning was that Lazarus was going to die. He was going to show up and raise him from the dead. Why would he weep for Lazarus? No, Lazarus wasn't the one he was weeping for. He was weeping for the ones who were going through difficulty. He was weeping for the ones who were going through pain. Weeping for the ones who had to go through the struggles, who had to lose those that they loved. It was for Mary and for Martha that he was weeping. The Jews thought he was doing it because he loved Lazarus. And yes, he loved Lazarus. And they say, couldn't he have done something for him before he died? They don't think he could do anything now. But couldn't he have done something before he died? He opened the eyes of the blind. He gave sight to those who couldn't see. He made those that were deaf hear. Couldn't he have done something? And the answer is, of course. And yet, they understand that he has that power. And yet, what don't they do that Mary and Martha do? They don't believe. They don't trust him the way Mary and Martha do. And we come to verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I have said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. So here his actions. Again, after the Jews say these things, Jesus groans in his spirit. This time it's a different reason. It's not because of the pain, it's because God is not being glorified. Because the Jews are saying, couldn't he have done something? Why didn't he do something? And Jesus knows what he's going to do, but he groans in his spirit because he wants God to be glorified. And so he says, take away the stone. And Martha, now, the way she says it, it sounds funny to our ears. She protests. She says, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. He's going to stink. But when you hear that, recognize, number one, he's dead. He's been dead for 4 days. What wouldn't Martha want? To see her dead brother. She wouldn't want to see his body. Because it's not like it is here, where someone is cremated, or someone is embalmed, and if you see them at a funeral, their body is laid out, and they look just like they were just asleep. No, his body has been decaying. Death has come. He is not going to look good. Besides, he's not going to smell good. What Martha doesn't want is to have that as her memory of her brother. She wants to remember him when he was healthy. And she says, Lord, he stinks. It's not going to be a pretty sight, and that's the sight that I don't want to see. And Jesus reminds her and says, don't you remember? Don't you remember what I told you when you came to me? I said, if you believe, you're going to see the glory of God. And you believe, well, you're going to see the glory of God now. And so they take away the stone. And Jesus prays. He doesn't pray for his sake, because he knows that the Father hears him. Without a doubt, he prays for the sake of those that are there, that they will know the relationship that Jesus has with the Father, that it is inseparable, that they are one. And he prays, and then he cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Well, here's the problem, right? Lazarus is dead. How can he come forth? He's been dead for 4 days. He doesn't have the strength to stand. He's dead. His soul has departed. And yet Jesus commands him to come forth. What is Lazarus going to do? He's going to come forth. He's going to obey the God of the universe. He comes forth. The dead man obeys. You say, how can a dead man obey? I have no idea. Other than through the power of God, a dead man can't obey. But somehow, when Jesus commands him to come forth, he gives him the power to come forth. He gives him the ability to come forth, to stand up and walk out of the grave. That's exactly what Lazarus does. And what happens? God is glorified. God is magnified by Lazarus coming forth. Because when he walks out, he's walking in the grave clothes. They know it's the same person, but there's no death upon him. There's no illness there. He's healthy. He's restored. And Jesus says, take off the grave clothes. Loose him and let him go. And those Jews, remember those Jews that came around to help with the mourning and try and comfort Mary and Martha? Many of them believed. Now, that's wonderful, isn't it? Many of them believed. Wouldn't you hope it would say all of them believed? It doesn't say that. It says many of them believed. Some of them actually went to tell the Pharisees what Jesus had done. We're not sure exactly what they were hoping to accomplish. But they saw it. There was no denying it. There was no way to get around it. Jesus had just raised someone from the dead. Those who were once dead, the disciples, they saw the glory of God in a way they would have never imagined. Remember back when Lazarus was sick? And Jesus says, we're not going to go anywhere because I want you to see the glory of God. I want you to understand something. Why? So that they might believe. The disciples already trusted Christ, but they didn't fully understand him and fully understand who he was. What did he want for them? To grow in faith. You see, there's a number of different layers in this story, aren't there? You've got Mary and Martha. They believe. They trust Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. You've got the disciples. They trust Christ. He's the Son of God. And yet they need to trust more. They need to believe him. They need to grow in faith, in comprehension as to who Jesus is and the power that he has. But there's others there, the Jews that have come for mourning. They don't know him. They don't trust him the way Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and the disciples do. They need faith. And Jesus gives that to them. They see and believe. And of course, there's those that will turn away and say, "Ah, it doesn't matter what I see, I'm not going to believe." You see, this is a perfect picture of salvation. Paul, the apostle, in Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." That word quickened, it means to make alive. To make alive. It's like being shot with lightning, with electricity, being brought through your body, making you alive. It says, "You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." If you're a Christian today, that's what you were. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. And God quickened you. He made you alive. Just like Jesus, when he said to Lazarus, "Come forth," God did the same thing to you, spiritually speaking. And you came forth. And you trusted Christ. Now, for those of you that sit here today still in your trespasses and sins, the command is still the same. Come forth. Trust Jesus Christ. See the things that have happened in the lives of others and say, "That's what I want. That's the life I want. That's the relationship I want." Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ today. Know the Savior. Listen to His voice. Listen to the command to come forth and trust Jesus Christ. We point you to Him today. Amen.